Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our interim results presentation. I just want to clear that London are properly connected. Dave, are we all up and running there? Okay.
All up and running, thanks.
Okay. I think it's very clear to everybody in the world that this would have been a very difficult operating environment. When we spoke to you after our May results, I think we were quite optimistic about prospects, and then from about early June, all hell broke loose in the euro environment, and you got this continual negative news flow coming through in the global world. So we did see a sharp decline in equity markets in this period, and particularly in the last probably 6 weeks of the trading period. We've seen exchange rates, although our average exchange rate from an earnings point of view was stable, the actual rand blew out right at the death in the last month or so, whereas anything risky or perceived to be risky, not that the rand is that risky, but anything perceived to be risky got sold off. And we've also seen quite a lot of volatility in the interest rate markets, particularly the bond markets, and that is really as a consequence of what is going on in peripheral Europe and even to some extent mainstream Europe. So overall, it hasn't been an easy environment for an operation of our type. I think we as a firm have continued to steer a steady course. We have seen continued growth in some of our key areas, which had some impact on cost. We did benefit from our diversified business model. We saw our net interest income increased by 13.6%. We saw our fees and commissions, which we've been talking about building non-banking revenue for some time now, increased by 30%. And we saw, as a consequence of the very tough environment, income from principal transactions declined by 33%. Impairments do remain elevated, but substantially below the previous 6 months. So overall, we believe a steady result. I think if you look at the build-up of our revenue over the last 5 years, 4 years, not five actually, you can see a continual growth in top-line growth. And I think you can see that the mix of that growth has continued to improve, with recurring income making up about 68% of our operating profit. Obviously, in good seasons, you see principal activity go up, and therefore recurring income can drop down a bit. But if you look at the mix of the income, you can see strong proportion of net interest income, strong proportion of annuity fees and commissions. In this period, weak performance from investment income, which is a consequence of asset price declines. Again, operating profit stable since the beginning of the financial crisis. You can see that we have not seen a significant drop-off in operating profit. This is actually post-impairments. I'll show you a pre-impairment number in a moment. And therefore, we've also seen that sharp increase in contribution from wealth and asset management. Who's there? Royce. Huh? Hello, Royce. I think, obviously, those bottom lines, those revenue generation is driven by your core earnings drivers, and third-party funds under management over a period of time has grown quite strongly. In this last trading period, on a stable currency basis, it declined by 3.4%. On an absolute currency basis, by I think about 6.8%. We still saw good inflows in our third-party funds under management, £3 billion in net inflows, but obviously the rand had an effect on our final number, as did the level of markets. The same applies to customer deposits. We saw that up in stable currency by 8%, and loans and advances up by 2% in stable currency. Obviously, that's a very flattish sort of number. It's growing moderately, but in absolute currency, both those numbers came down. Loans and deposits marginally, and customer deposits marginally, and loans by a few percent. So, the other feature here is a reflection of liquidity. Our loan to customer deposit ratio is now about 68%. People are questioning if that is too liquid, but I think in this environment it's important for us to remain very liquid, and so I think we're fairly comfortable with our position on that front. If you look at our growth in operating profit, if you look at this number, if you take it pre-impairments, you can see that right throughout the difficult years that we've had over the last 4 or 5 years, we've managed to grow operating profit pre-impairments quite strongly, and you can see the green line at the top. Obviously, there's been a big effect by impairments. We came from benign conditions if you went back to the early part of this the last decade. Very benign conditions for most of that period, in fact for quite a long period apart from South Africa, where you had a bit of a blowout in the back end of the 90s, and therefore we hardly had any bad debts in that period. And then obviously when the financial crisis started, you saw the big build up in bad debts, and you know, again, hopefully we come into the end of that cycle. You've seen quite a big improvement in both South Africa and the UK business. Australia, we had to deal with a whole lot of property development loans, which we mentioned at the interim period, where we had significant write-offs, but you know, that is also almost past us. So overall, you are seeing a decline in absolute impairments, but still at elevated levels compared to pre-crisis. And I think that again is the group is supported by strong capital and liquidity, and we've maintained our capital ratios. Some have improved a little bit compared to March, and I think that is something that obviously we'll continue to monitor very, very carefully. You can see a significant improvement in level of liquidity from pre-crisis days all the way through to where we are today, and that's something we continue to monitor and take a lot of note of, and you know, we'll continue to maintain. Our costs, our crocodile jaws sort of like narrowed slightly because costs grew slightly faster than revenue. Again, we've seen overall costs have been deployed in areas that have been growing, but you have some areas where revenue has been difficult to attain, and therefore the mix of costs and revenues changed slightly, although not that dramatically, and hopefully we're going to start seeing the crocodile jaws open again as you know, we hold costs and try and build revenue, even though the environment could be quite difficult, as depending on how this euro thing pans out. So, summarizing everything, I think a stable performance, you know, operating profit down 2%. We said at the interim update it would be flattish. So whether you've got 2% as flat or not, I don't know, but it is down 2%. Earnings, attributable earnings pre-share is flat, and adjusted earnings per share down 6.8%. Dividend, we've taken it, we believe it's fair enough for us to hold the dividend in this kind of period. And we have seen, if you look against March, the decline in tangible net worth, that was all the rand. Against September, it's sort of flattish. So we consider this to be a stable performance. I think if we go to financial targets, there are two that we would be struggling with right now. Firstly, ROE. Our target, it's under revision, so we don't really have a target at this point in time. And only when all the regulations and everything settles down are we going to actually work out a target, because I think it's a waste of time to work out a target until you know exactly what the rules of the game are. So 10.1 on the absolute NAV. On tangible NAV, 12.3, coming down from 13.2 for March last year and 13.7 for September last year. So again, EPS, we want to grow by 10% above inflation, UK inflation, but that's something that we would have difficulty with in this environment, and so we were down 6.8%. Our cost to income ratio is within target, even though our costs have gone up slightly. Dividend cover is within target, and capital adequacy is well within our target range. So overall, you know, the two targets that we're battling with, one we don't have a target for at the moment, but we will have a target going forward when life settles. The other is a growth target which we're battling with in this environment. If we look at operationally the group, I think I would say a mixed divisional performance. We still had good momentum in asset management, so they've delivered quite strong growth, 34%. Wealth and investments, again, partially the acquisition of Rensburg Shepherd, partially you know, higher average funds under management compared to the comparative period, so 33% growth, and then capital markets 16% growth. The divisions that have battled, property, we told you that we sold our property fund, we now earn fees for managing it, so revenue from property comes down. Private banking, 26 looks like a big number, but it's not really, it's £1 million. That's the extra provisioning in Australia that we did think we'd be profitable at the half year in private bank, but we're marginally negative. And we will show you the split between income before the rundown book and income after the rundown book. And investment banking is a tailor to cities. We've still done quite well in the South African private equity area, but we've had some listed stuff that had to be marked down as a consequence of weak market conditions in the latter part of the year. So overall asset management, I think very good performance. We have broadened our geographic spread. We benefited from focus on large institutional accounts around the world. We've continued to see good inflows. Funds under management did go down, mainly because of the rand and the market, and we did get net inflows of £2.2 billion. I mean, this business has a very high ROE, 81% on what we paid for our businesses historically. And as I mentioned to you before, there was a time when we were being criticized for buying an asset management business in London in 1998, and we're now starting to bear the fruits of our labor there and seeing the benefit of that global business. Obviously, on tangible, these things don't need a lot of capital, so the return is very high at 286%. I think the business still has good positive momentum, and we're still seeing good inflows, and there's no change in our overall strategy in this business. It continues as before, and we believe that we have good investment capabilities and well-positioned to serve our current and future investor demand. I think on the wealth business, wealth and investments, I think the South African business, as I mentioned, did benefit from higher funds under management. UK is positively being impacted by integration of Rensburg into the business. We saw some net inflows, about 0.8 million, just under £1 billion. It's a tough business to get new inflows into. It's long, hard work. That's why we tend to have to buy these types of businesses to grow them and use our platforms to create synergies. Operating profit up 33%. Our cost-to-income ratio up because we're still in a rationalisation phase. We were rationalising the old private bank activities into Rensburg. ROE down, that's mainly because of the acquisition of Rensburg. Last year it would have been averaging, would have made the figure not look as where it is now. And then obviously on tangible, it's a low capital business, so it has a high ROE in tangible. And then funds under management down 10% in the absolute currency, 3.9% in neutral currency. You can see UK down 5%, it's all markets. South Africa down 2.4%. I think from our point of view, obviously this is where the major part of the Evolution acquisition fits in, and we believe that that does give us a broader geographic spread as very complementary businesses and enhances our ability to distribute our product. So we are very hopeful on a good solid integration there. Obviously, we're still under an offer period, so we're not yet at the point where we can talk about life. The specialist bank, if we look at our property activities, as I said to you, down because of the sale of the portfolio. I think the property fund released its results simultaneous with ours, and they had very good results, very much in line with expectations. Still a small fund, but we have big hope on growing and developing that fund over time. And I think we have a very sound, good portfolio here in South Africa, and we'll continue to seek opportunities to build our funds globally. I think what needs a bit more colour is the private banking businesses. And I think South Africa did see some growth in its loan portfolio and improved margins. That has come through in the net interest income numbers. I think the UK has seen significantly improved performance, mainly from lower impairments. And in Australia, we again got this tailor to cities. We've got the professional banking business that has done very well. But we have this back book, or we call the property development book, which is being dealt with. And we had a complete developments, and now we're in the process of selling. We're not getting the prices we originally anticipated, and that's why we've got the elevated impairments. So that book is being run off, and hopefully within the next couple of years that book will disappear. So if you strip that out of the private bank, that and the Irish book, because we haven't lent money in Ireland in the private banking space or in any space for about 5 years or 4 years, if you strip those two rundown books out of the results, the private bank's income was up by operating profit up by 24%, from £30 million to £37 million. And so Still very low ROE at 6.2 if you still strip that out, and we need to get that number back up, you know, in above 12%. But it will take us some time to get there. Activity levels are improving, but still below historic norms, and I think that's a factor for everything that we do. In this environment, activity levels are below historic norms. And in neutral currency, our loans were up about 3.3%, and our deposits were up 2.7% in neutral currency. In absolute currency, they were down 6% and 3.8% respectively. I think on the investment bank, we did say at the time of the trading update that they would be significantly down. I think if you look at this business, corporate finance, our corporate finance business around the world are doing better and have seen a lot of good deal flow, and so their earnings were almost double. And we get the institutional sales and research business, a very tough business at the moment. It's very too much competition, and institutions don't want to pay you for what you do for them. So that business needs reshaping, and we have been in the process of reshaping. We've done some in South Africa, and obviously we've got the Evolution deal coming, and you know, what we've said there is that there will have to be some kind of an adjustment to the combined headcount of the two groups when that group gets integrated. But it is in quite a tough space at the moment. And then on our principal investments, whereas we had some good performance, as I said, from our private equity and direct investment portfolio in South Africa, we had a weak performance from some of the listed investments held both in South Africa and other parts of the world, which would have retarded that result quite significantly. But still, you would expect this business to have a difficult time in this kind of environment. So, you know, we also, in the last year, have set up a boutique advisory operation in India, because we see a lot of potential flow between India and Africa, and a similar thing in Hong Kong, which gives us a gateway to China. We bought a small boutique called Access Capital in June this year. So it's been in the numbers for a very short period of time. But they are very small, but they do enhance our capability, which we think is important for us long term. We move to capital markets. I think we've seen good activity in this business, both in South Africa and the UK, and therefore a uptick of 16%. Its ratios are all good, cost to income and return on equity, because not that it uses capital, but it's not capital intensive in the same way as the private banking business is. And we've seen a solid performance from the UK, and we've seen quite reasonable levels of activity in Australia. Obviously, the book came down by, on a currency neutral basis, by 0.8%. It's quite tough to grow book in this place. And pipelines do remain good in all geographies, but this environment could make execution uncertain. So we're in a space where, you know, there are good flows, but the world is still in a funny space, and you know, we can't factor in the environment. We have to operate day to day. So on other stuff, group service and other activities, I think central funding was impacted by lower margins, but also benefited from lower provisions held. So that number's, you know, marginally up. Our trade finance business in South Africa continues to do quite well, and that's up 32%. And then our central services, our costs were up, mainly personnel and system-related costs, as we have to strengthen our infrastructure. Tax rate was 19.2%, as we said to you in the trading update, within a range of 19 to 20. Shares in issue up to 792, and that was a consequence of the Rensburg deal and the shares for cash we did last year. And then we've still got that minority story on preference shares, which goes up and down, £4.6 million, which would have had some effect. So if we come to strategy, I think we're getting our strategy quite clearly defined as a firm. You know, we, as a specialist bank and asset manager, in future we're going to report really three core businesses, asset management, specialist banking, and wealth and investments. And that from March, that's what we'll be reporting to you. And I think you know about our strategy well enough in asset management and wealth and investments. I think on the specialist banking side, what we've been trying to do is get a much more focused approach to serving the client, which starts in Investec from a high net worth, high income individual all the way through to governments, institutions and corporates, and across the various product offerings that we have as a firm, which would always be advisory, structuring, lending, securities trading, market making, and in principal investing. So I think very, very clear what we are and what we try to be. We have built a solid international platform. I think we have core infrastructure just in three geographies. We have some origination and distribution around the world. And I think this reflects exactly what we do around the world and in what geographies. So you can see, like in the US, for example, we only distribute our product. We don't originate anything there. In Canada, we've got a small boutique. I'm not going to go into details of all of it because you guys mostly know it. But so we originate in some geographies, we distribute in others. And that's what we do as a firm. If we look at the asset management business, I think it has a strong, very strong 20-year growth story. It's grown from managing £53 million in 1991, £41 million in 1991 to £53 billion today. And that's a very, very strong growth story. It's by and large grown organically. There have been little acquisitions on the way that gave us platforms, but mostly organically. And we've built those investment capabilities organically. Our investment performance has always been competitive and normally in the upper end of the spectrum, and we've adopted a very global approach with broad distribution. So whilst we manufacture our products in South Africa and in the UK in essence, we distribute them globally, and we have global products in that in that product set. Our focus is large institutions and private banks and sovereign funds and all those kinds of people, and that's really helped us get scale. And we have a unique and clearly understood culture with a very experienced and stable management team. If we look at wealth and investments, you know, we're building our international platform. We've made good progress on that since the acquisition of Rensburg. We are well established in South Africa. We think that the acquisition of Evolution, or Williams de Broe part of Evolution, will create a significant play in the UK. It gives us a platform right across the UK. And overall, we'll be managing probably £32 to £33 billion, depending on where the market pans out, or based off where life was at the end of September. And we are focusing on consolidating and internationalizing this business. I think the specialist bank, obviously this is the biggest part of our revenue generation of the firm, is we have been building our global platforms. We've seen where we've been successful at getting global integration. The business has become very, very sound, and we look for synergies right across the group. So in the investment bank, you know, it's an integrated business with local delivery and international access. We have a very strong position in the UK mid-market. We have a very strong position in the South African space, and that's middle to upper market. And we've been building our platforms in Australia, which are getting good traction, and Asia. In our capital markets business, we have a strong global international platform based on traditional customer flows. We've built sustainable businesses off the back of client-driven transactional flow, and we're well positioned in both what we call primary and secondary markets. And then in the private banking business, we do have significant relationships with high-income and high-net-worth individuals. We offer high-touch transactional banking, credit, deposit, and investment services to that client base, including fiduciary, trust, and other services. And I think that's, we're broadening it out. We're going to launch some of the products that we've historically had in South Africa, both in the UK and Australia, over the next year. It's taken us some time to get there, but we're starting to get traction, and we will be launching a lot of those products and start broadening the franchise of that private banking business. I think if you look over the last while, our specialist banking business has been held back by elevated impairments. Even if, you know, the profitability of this business has been coming down as we hit the financial crisis, and that has been a trend, whereas the other two businesses, the wealth and investment and asset management business, have actually gone up as a contributor over the last while. Obviously, you know, at a point in time, these impairments are going to either slow down dramatically or stop, and the consequence of that has been, you know, a decline in ROE in the specialist bank. The ROEs in asset management and wealth management business have been pretty stable to rising slightly over the last while. So we obviously realize as a firm that that's the area that we have to concentrate on, is how we're going to improve the ROE, how are we going to make sure the specialist banking businesses function more effectively, and what they're going to look like post financial crisis, which we're probably still in a financial crisis with all the euro stuff going on. So there is an impact on capital. Obviously Basel II had some impact on the wealth and the asset management business, because you had more capital for those businesses, and obviously there's Basel III coming, which will have an impact on specialist banking business. So the banking businesses will be a lower ROE business, as we've mentioned before, and the other businesses are very high ROE businesses, and for us it's important to continue to get the right degree of balance. So our strategy is to focus on low capital intensive businesses, tightly manage costs going forward. I think our costs have grown, and as I said, the crocodile's jaws were narrowing a little bit. They have to open up again. We continue to try and build our brand to support our sustainable long-term strategy. We've got to leverage off our platforms globally, but we've got to be out there still capturing deal flow. And I think that's an important part and a big differentiator for investing in this kind of environment. Many global competitors are pulling back because of the issues around capital, the issues around exposure to the various weak sovereigns, and we don't have those kinds of issues, and therefore, we're able to actually capture flow, which is an important thing for us as a firm. And what we're trying to still do is build a quality, sustainable global business. And I think we've made very good progress over many years, but the environment has been particularly tough. So we come back to the outlook. I think the Eurozone crisis does continue to affect confidence and activity levels around the world. Markets remain extremely volatile, and the regulatory landscape is still quite uncertain. It's quite intrusive at the moment, but it is something that one would have expected after post the big crisis that we had. I think, and these are things that we have to live with, and we've lived with them well up to now. We have made good progress in building scale in our wealth and asset management businesses, which together now account for 39% of earnings. And we did maintain a reasonable level of profitability right throughout the financial crisis, and our diversified business model has continued to demonstrate very strong defensive qualities. So I think investing is a lot more defensive than people will ever give us credit for. We believe we have appropriate capital, we believe we're well capitalized, well within our range, as well as liquidity, and that we will continue to navigate a steady course. And obviously we're in an uncertain environment, and that's really, for us, it's navigating a steady course, taking little opportunities as they come, moving on through the impairment cycle, and making sure that we focus on our capital liquidity, that we can continue to capture those opportunities. So that's really the interim update. I hope it gives you a perspective. Before I close for questions, I think it's our last day of Hugh Herman as our chairman. And we both have Hugh here and our incoming chairman, Sir David Prosser and Fani Titi, with us today. And I just want to say a few words about Hugh. I think Hugh has been with our group for 18 years. We were arguing last night whether 17 years, 10 months and 2 weeks, or 18 years and we give him 18 years. When Hugh joined our firm, I think we made 80 million rand of profit. We had a balance sheet size of 11 billion rand, and we had third-party funds under management of 7 billion rand. I haven't worked the rand numbers out, but I think that for a full year we make 4.5 billion rand, 4 billion rand. We have a capital base of 36 billion rand, and we have funds under management of 1 trillion rand, 40% of South Africa's GDP, as a firm, and on balance sheet assets of 500 to 600 billion rand. So I think in our period as Hugh as chairman, we have made great strides as a firm. And Hugh was always a chairman that worked very well with the executive. He allowed the executive to get on and do what they had to do in life. He was always very supportive and always conducted himself in the most professional manners. And we never had any board conflicts right throughout our history. He was always able to manage the relationship between the board and the executive exceptionally well. Hugh has been around with us on many, many trips, seeing international banks, international conferences, talking to the public at large and to the bankers around the world about Investec, about South Africa. And every time we have one of those sessions, we get a full house because people want to hear what Hugh has had to say and has to say. So, Hugh, from our point of view as executive of this firm, Hugh will stay on as chairman of Investec Asset Management. He will stay on as president of the group, and we will still be involved with Investec in many spheres. But he will no longer be chairman of Investec Bank, Investec Limited, and Investec PLC. So, from the executive's perspective, and from all of us, we thank you for your time that you've spent with us, for the guidance that you've given us over many, many years, and we really appreciate the relationship that you've enabled us to build with all our stakeholders, both board, any other stakeholder that we have, our employees, government, the whole world. So thank you, and we really appreciate it, and we wish you luck in everything else that you do in the future. So that. So that's the story. Stable. No big shakes in this world, and that's what we want. Any questions? It's Mark.
Thanks, Stephen. Just one remark. I see in rand terms the interim dividend is up 15%, even though it's stable in pounds. I'm pleased to say Investec's become a rand head share.
But of course, we always were.
But it's all helping us at the moment.
I see Louis no longer comes here. Louis, not here. He's gone. Moved. He's gone to where? African Bank. Is that where he went? Our coronation.
So in the absence of Louis, I'd like to thank you for the
thank
dividend. The question I'd like to ask is, in one of your early slides, you said the principal transactions, the income was down by about a third or so.
Yeah.
In the absence of a full income statement, it's difficult to see where that's comes in, but I mean, is this because you're doing less principal transactions, or is this where the impairments have hurt you? Could you perhaps say a bit more about that?
Not impairments. It's there's portfolios that have to be marked to market. Things would come through there. There's customer flow activity. So it's really in the investment activity that we would have seen down. And yes, in some businesses there would have been less activity in this environment. So that's where it would have been down. That's always a volatile number, and that is part of the volatility. You know, I don't know what it made up of our 15% odd of our revenue, and that can be between 15 and 20, depending on life. Maybe even higher than 20 sometimes.
Sorry, Stephen. Just a question on your runoff books.
Yeah. We've got two runoff books, Ireland and Australia.
What's the residual exposure in those books, and how well is it covered now with the additional impairments?
The Irish book's about 50-something percent covered, 55% covered. The Australian book is about 25% covered.
And sorry, just in terms of the actual quantum of those two books?
The Australian book was 400 million odd Aussie dollars. And the Irish book was about big impairments, about 190 million quid.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Net of impairments, maybe just over 100, somewhere around there. More questions? Nothing. They catch us in the passage. Okay, we'll go to London.
Are there any questions in London? Stephen, no questions in London.
Okay. That's it. I think there's something to eat and drink here. So for those of you who are hungry or thirsty, I'm quite thirsty, but I will see you there. Thank you.